You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're having a good weekend. This is the Labor Day weekend, and I hope it's being safe, and I hope you're doing everything that you want to do. Hope you get a chance to do everything that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do a little bit of a course. If it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, it will get done, because you'll do it, and you'll do it safely, as always. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain Time, or 8 to 10 Pacific Time. But of course, if you cannot listen live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there'll be programs that are dated and titled. But of course, you can just put in Baba Oshi.net, Baba, B-A-B-A, Oshi, O-S-H-I.net, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku, appreciate you. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times from 6 to 8 on Monday, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia. From 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kanban and the Taki Kanban. From 8 to 9 on Mondays. From 9 to 10 on Mondays, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 until on Fridays. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And once again on Sunday, if it's 7 p.m. on Sunday, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the African, Brother Bomani Tayemba. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything you need to take a trip of a lifetime, information about what you need, the documents, the visas, all that. Everything is right there. He has four trips upcoming. Tanzania, that's how they pronounce it in Tanzania. Tanzania from November 18th through November 29th. So that's coming up very soon. Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2022. Senegal and Gambia, April 1st to April 11th, 2022. And then to Ghana again, May 24th to June 5th, 2022, and its cost is $3,700 per person. $3,700 per person. Put $400 down and pay on it as you go, and then you pay it up. There you go. You're going to the motherland with Brother Bomani. But listen, if you want to see videos of previous tours, go to Facebook, No, excuse me. Go to YouTube.com for videos, YouTube.com/ Bomani 2007. You want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/ Bomani. And of course, you want to give them a call. It's at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Habashah. Habashahincorporated.org. Those brothers and sisters are doing the work here in the Atlanta area and, of course, in Ghana with their programs, Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project that is going on in Ghana. When you go to the website HabashahIncorporated.org, when you go there, then you see a lot of beautiful pictures, see what's going on in Ghana today. Habashah. Incorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. Brothers and sisters, they deal in the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on six different countries with over 170 employees and over 260 members. You need to become a member. Well, let me tell you this. Membership has its perks, its privileges, and so forth. And if you are a member of the LEDGE Group, you can buy land in Tanzania for $250 an acre. That's right. You have to be a member of the LEDGE Group. All right. Bibi Atumi, ABIBITUMI.com, BibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to BibiAtumi.com. Make it a favorite. Go there often for all the things that you can shop. Newsfeed, events, crowdfunding, all the things that happening. They also offer a repatriation program that you can become comprised of. Language programs. You can learn Kiswahili, which we all should really do. You can learn Medunature. You can learn the Akan, which is a tree. You can learn Wolof. So these languages, which of course are very important. And in fact, the one starts this Saturday. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in itself in the West End here in the Atlanta area, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7, the Shrine is. And of course, the Shrine, they got everything. They got clothing, they got furniture, they got books. Of course, they have books, jewelry, and everything like that. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. And, of course, Wadada's. The Medu Bookstore in the Green Bar Mall, Mama Nia. She's going to have Mama Baino Bello at next Sunday. Next Sunday, Mama Baino Bello will be presenting in her book, which is, of course, The Sheroes of the Haitian Revolution. The Sheroes of the Haitian Revolution. That'll be next week, Sunday. And, of course, give Mama Nia a call if you're in the Atlanta area and you're near one Georgia Highway 166. Stop off there at the Greenbrier and Campbellton Road, and there you are at the Greenbrier Mall, and check out Mama Nia. She has a new location right there on the main thoroughfare at the Greenbrier Mall. Or give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu, he's done some great work in his location. If you're in the Atlanta area, and of course he is east of Atlanta, suburb of Lithonia, give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. That is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. I know. Okay, Homeland Village. Homeland Village Cultural Center and Bookstore and Gift Shop. It is all of that, believe me. That is located in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue, Macon, Georgia. Give Brother Abia a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. The Cultural Village Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. They have their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. At 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. And, of course, if you want to call, you can go online to do that, to listen. But you can call and to listen, or if you want to, if you have a comment or concern, you can do that by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, contact our sister Shelly Amonsette at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. And Sanjay Dash Aidi, this sister is doing tremendous work. And we know that the island of Haiti has experienced another earthquake just recently, and they still haven't recovered from the one that happened in 2010. And but this sister is doing tremendous work in the northeastern portion in the hills of Haiti. And that's Sister Gabby. Brothers and sisters, go to our website at Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I dot org. Sanjay dash Haiti. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti. And I know they have a they have something coming up. And I saw it. I didn't get a chance to copy it. But brothers and sisters, support the Barutis. Go to Cash App or PayPal. Put in the dollar sign, Cash App, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make a donation. Make a monthly donation, a one-time donate, whatever it is. Also, too, if you want to get books from Baba Baruti, go to AkabinHouse.com, AkabinHouse.com, and you can get those books that Baba Baruti has authored. And there are many. There are many. So, the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim on this Labor Day. Okay. September 5th. In the millennium, the most important issue will still be the race question. Not surprisingly, technology will provide white supremacy with the greatest weapons of destruction for the minds of the non-white population throughout the world. The basic implication for Africans is that we do not have a history of any real significance to the rest of the world. We are, in effect, a non-essential factor in the forward advancement of civilization. Thus, in a time of crises or surplus, African people are likely to be an expendable and disposable commodity based on our lack of contribution to mankind. Indus Kent Kush. We are the dandelions of this reality, victims of an imperialist science which must destroy truth in order to become its owners. We went from value to devalue, again back to valued, though without acknowledgement. The measurement of our value in this world followed the rise of the defining voice of the spawn of the Caucasians. Within the classification system of Urugu's political science, we were once hunted and uprooted as weeds, our seeds tossed to the wind. Now they have come to recognize what our ancestors long ago knew so well. The higher the value of everything about our biological and our spirit. And in historically typical fashion, Urugu seeks to steal it for themselves alone. Consequently, we are harvested as cures for a sick and defiant people who needed to kill everything in order to live and rise as world saviors. Even though they are loath to admit the falsity of their claims to discovering us, the needy arrogance of their culture demands
that their science remake anew, as original to their knowledge, what we have known since long before fire warmed the horror of their caves. Affirm, I am neither expendable nor disposable because I know our potential and what we have accomplished. Affirmed, I am neither expendable nor disposable because I know our potential and what we have accomplished. September 6th. We must conquer and we must encourage our own black authors who have character, who are loyal to their race, who feel proud to be black. And in every way, let them feel that we appreciate their efforts to advance our race through a healthy and decent literature. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Unexplained chaos is imbalancing to one's mind and spirit. It creates intellectual and emotional voids which fear eagerly enters and fills. It gives reason to worry, for chaos creates victims without sane options or a means to security. And once you set your mind to worry, it does. It corrupts every good thought. It gets in between the paper and the pen and fingers the keys. So frontline writers should never waste their time worried about the insinuations of those who self-centeredly believe that every critique you make is a personal insult against them. Some people need to be mad. It is in this very breath. Envy, anger, and self-justification, self-righteousness fills the void left from our loss. It helps hide the hopelessness that the realization of just how devastating what continues to be done to us has ravaged our families, communities, nation truly is. They are hopeless. Their insecurities cannot become your concern. Your job is to reveal self-evident contradictions within a reawakening vision of African sovereignty. It is to bring clarity to those seeking to find a sane human way, even in the midst of an avalanching confusion. Your calling is to elevate our warriors' thinking above doubt. For a writer committed to thinking for us moves most creatively amongst the words that move minds beyond frontline skirmishes and into the victory of Ma'at. Affirm, I read and support those African authors who hold themselves accountable to us. Affirm, I read and support those African authors who hold themselves accountable to us. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Ashe. Oh, sorry about the late coming on. I ran into a little problem, but we'll fight through it. And if you're hearing me, obviously you are. You're still on. And so for those who are on, this is a Labor Day, the Labor Day weekend. You know, there's a couple of places that, you know, that I worry about. One particularly is Chicago, because for years, every holiday weekend, there's at least over 50 shootings. And sometimes as high as 20 people dead. You know? Man. This is an insane-ass place. That's why I'm constantly on this radio, no matter what, trying to help our people understand that we need to get out of here. That movie Get Out was on point. We need to get out. You need to get out of here. We need to learn to open up our hearts and minds, make those connections. We need to help Africa be sovereign. We can never do it here. We can never do it in the midst of our open and sworn enemy. The problem, of course, is that this society perpetuates individualism. Individualism, materialism, and greed. And so therefore, you as an individual, you might have a, quote, good sailing, you know. Your family, you know, lived in a very upscale neighborhood as you were growing up. Maybe your
40, 50 years old. If that's the case, then you grew up in the 70s, later part of the 60s into the 70s, 80s, affirmative action and so forth, you know. And so you know, you fine. You feel good, you know. That's, I got mine. And if all those other statistical Negroes, and that's their fault because I got mine. Man. So you know, you're feeling good. You ain't got to worry. You know, my daughter, my son are the only two blacks at the school they go to. You know, I have a six-figure job. You know, I went to one of the best schools and graduated and everything like that. So, you know, if I did it, what's wrong with you other Negroes? Why can't you do it? You can do it too. I did it. You know. We lack the understanding of what this whole situation, us being here, is about. You know, and I know that the statistic came out recently about the Caucasians' numbers dwindling. Well, they said it was the first time. That's not true. Their numbers have been dwindling for years, for a few decades. Their numbers have been dwindling. I remember back in the 70s, 80s, Ben Wathenberg wrote a book, The Decline of the West. Because it's not just here in America. It's Caucasians, period. They have been the minority from the very beginning. From the very beginning. In fact, if you look at human development, they were some of the last folks to develop humanly, if you want to call them that. They were some of the last. The first, of course, is you know who. And we migrate over thousands of years. And what makes us different as human beings is our ability to adapt to environments we find ourselves in. We came up into what is now called Europe. The climate was cold. The ice age was receding, but the climate is still very ungiving, very harsh. Winters are long. Nights are dark and cold. Women acquiesced and capitulated to men because I can't fend for myself out there. It's dark. There are animals out there. There are other wild, crazy people out there. We hang out in this cave with you. And of course, as they continue to develop, being connected with other human groups and developing civilization, so to speak. And of course, the first European development by European standard, I ain't talking about the Algonquins and so forth. Like, no, I'm talking about based on what Europeans say, of course, is Greece. That's their real entrance into the world of civilization is the Greeks. And we know how messed up the Greeks are. Then, of course, then the Romans. And then after the Romans, you know, and then the fall of the Roman Empire and Christianity. Because, you know, Christianity was co-opted by, at the Nicene Conference. Look up the Nicene Conference at 325 A.D. Look that up. Constantine. Then they fell into what they considered a dark age or a medieval age, land poor, resource poor, and people poor. And the only information, the only knowledge that was happening is in the western part of Europe. I refuse to call Europe a continent. It is not a continent by anybody's definition. But that's the arrogance of Caucasians. You know, they want to separate themselves from the eastern part of Asia. So they use the Caucasus Mountains as a mountain range and said anything west of that is the European continent. Pfft, stop it.
See, that's why I strongly advocate for us to use proper language. Even though we're speaking this bastardized language, we need to use proper terms because it gives a more important vision. That's why I'm adamant about not calling ourselves slaves. I am adamant. We were not slaves. The European pushes it and pushes it. Other human beings during times of civilization were in captivity or enslaved. But that has our face on it because of what Europeans were able to do. You say slave, you automatically put our face on it. And our captivity is a small portion of our human existence and our bringing of civilization into the world. Once again, go to YouTube, put in Great Pyramid K 2019. The Inye Sesin, when we talked about it, I read, it talked about what we haven't done, and because that's what the European wants us to believe, that we've never done anything, that we were running around a jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created civilization of any kind, of any note, of any worth. And nothing could be furthest from the truth. Nothing. Europeans. In fact, I want to read this. I'm going to read this for us. Maybe after I read this, it'll be time for a break. And get off to some music and then come back and open the lines up and get your feedback and your perspective on what I'm going to present. I'm going to present how our captivity enriched Europe. And then we're going to talk a little about some reparations, you know, the National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations in America in COBRA. And let me say this quickly about reparations as far as I'm concerned. I don't like ADOS. I can't stand that, you know. But even other pulls for reparations, what the Jamaicans are doing. Because, see, I don't look at reparations for a segment of our people. They didn't compartmentalize us. To the European, we were just one. They didn't give a damn what nation state or national group or tribe we were from. All they knew and all they understood and all they cared about, if they cared anything at all, that we were African. Now, when they understood that some Africans could communicate well and effectively, they were separated. But they didn't care about what tribe we were from. No. They were African. And so to me, the push for reparations is after we reestablish ourselves on the continent, after we have become economically strong, because just by making that move, that'll happen. Controlling resources, the land of our, and have the wherewithal and the ability to produce, that'll happen. And then we're going for reparations because they owe us. Europeans are rich because of our captivity and the rape of Africa. Then first the human capital and then the mineral resource and still the human ability to extract it. I'm telling you, as I'm sitting here, brothers and sisters, I'm thinking, you know, what the European has done, and then he gives us a religion tied to him. If this shit don't make you mad, I know you're out there, Baba, in Albuquerque, but you know, it's crazy. This sugar, honey, iced tea. We're trained not to think, not to analyze. They just want us to go along to get along. They just want us to continue, just like I said openly about, you know, individualism, materialism, greed, and violence is what the American society perpetuates. And so in that respect, just go along. You're an individual, man. You know, you have to be worried about all those other folks you see when you drive down the street in certain areas of your city that is dilapidated, that has you hurry up and get out of there to get back to the community that you have a mortgage at. And when your kids go to school and you're thankful, and it becomes self-perpetuating. Yeah. It's going to be very hard for us to do that. But I look at it this way. If there are others who are like us, who I see in the queues here, and there's others that are not hip to this program, other programs that are on Time for an Awakening, or on other programs that are on Black Talk Radio Network, and other, then hey, pretty soon they will be. Pretty soon they will be. The enrichment of Europe during the captive trade. In this article, we will tell you how Europe went from the status of probably the poorest land, now once again, it's not a continent, to one of the richest in the world by decimating the African continent. That's what they did, you know, the Europeans. You know, of course, we know about the Arab, the Muslims, and I put them right there with them. Because even today, you know, Muslims, even though they know they are not Caucasians, but they associate with Caucasians. In the 14th century, which is the 1300s, Arab politically ran the world. And that began in the 7th century, the 600s. The domination of Arabs was based on their cultural, political, and religious predominance. Their influence stretched from East Asia to the western parts of Europe, bypassing the so-called Middle East and North Africa. If the Arabs were the most powerful people in the world, the Africans were simply the richest people in the world. The stories on the mind-blowing state of material opulence of Africa before the Europeans abound. Mansa Musa, Emperor of Mali in the 1300s, is, with a fortune invaluable, according to the Time magazine, the richest man in the history of humanity. Even the Arabs, who have been everywhere, made Africa the reference in terms of wealth, and through this saying, against the gale of the camel, use tar, and against poverty, make a trip to Sudan. The Arabs, the Sudan, here meant Africa. At the same time, China was having splendor of its imperial area of era, excuse me, and America was happening in America, the Aztec civilization. The Indian Ocean was the trade route between Africa and the so-called Middle East and East Asia. The Africans were certainly making trade with the indigenous people of the Americas and within the Africans of Australia. Europe was probably the poorest land in the world after the fall, which is Western Asia. Let's do that. Europe, Western Asia, was probably the poorest in the world after the fall of the powerful Roman Empire. Europe fell into a semi-state of barbarism, famine, disease, tribal and religious wars. You know, that's one thing that a lot of us don't understand what happened with Europe. Religious wars, slavery, dirt, mass illiteracy were evils commonly shared. In Paris, the people lived amongst pigs and were literally defecating in the streets. The stench was unattainable. The most important civilization in Europe at that time was the Moorish civilization in Spain and Portugal. This was the fact of African Berbers, and who are called Moors or Saracens and Arabs. It is this civilization that has enabled Europe to get out of its disastrous state by reintroducing the sciences and arts. The Africans have particularly reintroduced hygiene in Europe.
the macabre game of musical chairs. Therefore, Africa took Europe's place. Europe took the Arab's place. And China, a country as big as a continent itself, soon first world power, soon first world power, which took the place of Africa of then. The African Caribbean historian Jean-Philippe Omotunde, in his book, The European Trade, Truth and Lies, on page 64 to 65, takes the particular case of France and England, which entered through secondarily in a traffic granted by the entered into this traffic granted by the Pope. This was only granted to, at the time, Spain and Portugal, and to subdue all infidels and take everything. Whatever you want to take, it is yours. To show how Europe experienced a spectacular economic boom in putting Africans into captivity, and this through different levels. Given the military aspects of the trade, terrorist acts in Africa's soil and systematic destruction of African civilization, war against African resistance, gifts of weapons to the Africans who collaborated, maintenance of the order on the boats and so forth, the armaments industry in Europe knew a tremendous growth with manufacturing of rifles, guns, swords, gunpowder, bayonets. With the raids that required to fund investors, big ship owners, captive traders, soldiers, and the intermediaries, the banking sector would know of an unprecedented boom. Lloyd's of London, Barclays Bank. The damage caused by the revolts in the seas, the attacks of the African resistance and the captives on the plantations. There was a need to ensure against the hazards of the traffic, whence the expansion of insurance companies, Lloyd's of London, and so forth. The increase in orders of captive boats created an economic development of ports, without forgetting the lever effects on the economic activity of the port cities. Some of the port cities, St. Malo, La Roche, Seville, Liverpool, Bordeaux. For La Roche, between 1739 and 1793, 349 galley ships journeyed, distributing between 56 ship owners. The activity begot huge fortunes. Huge fortunes. The French lawyer, Hilaire Albertelli, 1751 to 1789, declares that enslaved Africans are the source of the prosperity of Europe, and Voltaire said the Caribbean are points on a map. But finally, these countries, they can barely show a glimpse on a world map, have produced for France an annual circulation of 60 million merchandise, 60 million of goods equivalent today to billions of euros, and this for a single year. Even when one wants to assert that the castration of the captive trade would result in unemployment of half of the French workers, the Bank of France is, in its origin, immediately associated with the captive trade. We have the figures of the slave trader for who they had a $39,000 investment and made 41, or more than 100% for a single ship. They have a picture here of the Netherlands, the king or the queen, whoever, the king and queen of Holland, the Netherlands, in a royal golden coach. And they show a picture at the bottom, and they show the people of the colonies among whom Africans come to worship before a white woman who represents the Netherlands. The offense here has no limit. The Netherlands enriched themselves thanks to the products of their captive colonies. You remember the Netherlands, of course, Southern Africa, the Boers, the Dutch Reformed Church. According to the BBC, the money derived from the activity of our captive trade is at the origin of modern capitalism. We know today that it is the money of this criminal trafficking which funded the famous Industrial Revolution in the West. According to the National Legacy Policy Center in the U.S., the number of hours of forced labor of enslaved Africans in the United States is equivalent to $97 billion. Wall Street developed because of the traffic of Africans. Famous banks like Lehman Brothers, J.P. Morgan, Rothschilds experienced their booming thanks to the destruction of the lives of African people. The famous European Renaissance is therefore based on two pillars. First, the reintroduction of the sciences and arts by Africans and Arabs of the Moor civilization. It is the intellectual pillar. Secondly, annihilation of the indigenous people of the Americas, as well as the 400 to 600 million Africans' lives lost, with 12 to 13 million of deportees, forced labor. That is the economic pillar. Yeah, that's them. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll open up the lines on this day, and we'll talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about, whatever that might be. Okay? All right, brothers and sisters, once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All right, this next poet is from our hometown. He describes himself as a ritual poet, combining elements of drama, chant, and ritual into his work. Ladies and gentlemen, from Brooklyn, I'm proud and honored to present Sekou Sundiata.
Hot up here than I expected. Thank you. I think all the other poets raised the temperature. Come on and bring on the reparations. Oh, master of the perfect word universe, trichnological forked tongue, riddle me this. If the Chinese can come from China and the French can come from France, what made you think you could get niggas out of Africa in the first place? Just because you put puppies in the oven, that don't make them biscuits? Right. Reparations on GP. Come on and bring on the reparations. For all the unrequited home runs, brothers be burning up the bases, the crowd be going mad, brothers be crossing over home plate, go outside and can't get a cab. For Little Richard teaching the Beatles how to scream like Aunt Jemima without their pancakes. And all the other dark and unknown rockers electrified, the Republic sanctified, shaking that Cold War out the booty body politic. Come on and bring on the reparations. For the beat in beatnik, white Negroes and such, getting off up under that great music and them little ass five spots. For the jazz in the jazz age, making your women wiggle and squirm, and you trying to twist and do the worm. Your abstract expressionism jism dripping. You might say, if I was you, I would go on the road and howl too. Jimmy Dean and Elvis, they can go to wherever they went. Marilyn too, except she got caught in a trick and got bent out of that cute little shape she had going. Come on and bring on the reparations. For the Birmingham Gospels, four little girls come Sunday. For the Jesus remix in those redneck streets, fire hose, mad dog crucifix. And what exactly did you say you was doing at the time of our soft shoe on the rock of edges? For the privilege in your skin, a wounded knee, a trail of tears for the Indian in us. Come on and bring on the reparations. for the spook with the metal detector sitting by your door. Open just enough, probably a moon full of cocaine on the table. Monica on her knees doing secret service. You humming mum under wraps. And what about all those flags we so proudly hailed? Marvin Gaye singing, oh, say, can you see? Wearing shades like mirrors at the All-Star game so you can reflect yourself, relaxed and feeling good. The dark looker doing his looking like he was blind, bearing witness to the whiteness of whiteness, pretending you was the only one who could see. Tis after all about thee, just like you like it. Mercy, mercy me, and so on and so forth. For the missing royalty checks, and so on and so forth. For VD and Tuskegee called syphilis, and so on and so forth. Think of it. Think of it as a down payment on the interest compounded. Them 40 acres notwithstanding. That mule notwithstanding. Multiplied, quantized, digitized. What to say about forgiveness between you, huh, and your God? Come on and bring on the reparations.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com.
That was Sounds of Blackness, Time for Reparations, and of course, Sandiata, Brother Sandiata, on Deaf Poetry Jam from back in the day, Most Deaf, Bring On the Reparations. And of course, I'm going to get a little rundown of other programs we have here on Time for Awakening Media. Once again, this evening, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jahal Ahmed. That's followed by from 8 p.m. to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. Then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays, 4 p.m. to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. So the phone lines are open. If you want to get in, hit. I see a number of people in the queue. Just hit star twice. Hit star twice. That'll get you in. Okay. We're talking about whatever you want to talk about. I just seen that piece. I just seen that piece on reparations. And I thought that we'll do a more in-depth piece on reparations because that's a very serious subject. But once again, you know, I'll state my piece on terms of reparations. It ain't about individuals getting any money. Reparations is about repairing us as a people. And of course, I believe just like when the Japanese became strong, particularly economically, when they were viable, they got reparations. They got to repair from the internment camps and so forth. The indigenous people who are decimated, they got what they might consider reparations, but they're still living poorly on the reservations. But they got casinos. And, of course, Donald Trump was pissed about that. I was cracking up. Because I remember that was he was talking about people claiming to be. And well, that's always happened. Just like the $5 Indians. So they can get on the rolls and so forth and take advantage of the government putting out money. They weren't real indigenous people. They're bull. We got a caller, 404-5453. 404-453. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshi. Barragani, Yehudu.
Barragani, and Jemma Barragani. How you been, man? How you been doing, brother?
Hey, I'm out here surviving in the matrix, man. Learn how to control the matrix. Don't let the matrix control me, man.
That's right, Brother West. So that's right, man. Yes, that's right. You are in control. Always remember that.
Good. Say yeah, what? Yeah, bro. That's right. No matter what the enemy throw at me. See, you said something about what they call responsibility. I call that the ability to respond to any situation.
I hear you.
My question is to you, man. I know you knew Ronoco Rashidi. He's been on your show a couple of times, right?
Yes, he has.
I talked to him on your show.
That's right. He's a good friend.
So I don't ever like to say ill will or the ancestors, no matter what I thought of them in real life. And mm-hmm. I had them a good thing to say about Ronoco, except for the way he went out, man. You know he had took that jab, and the next week he left us. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what is rumored. I haven't heard anybody say definitely that's what happened, but that is rumored, and more than likely that's what happened. You know, do I think the jab took him out? It might be a contributing factor. There's other factors too. You know, one thing about that supposedly when coronavirus was hitting real big was that if you had an underlying problem, you know, then your chances of surviving coronavirus, particularly before this so-called vaccine came into existence, was your immune system. And if you have a compromised immune system, then unfortunately you will probably succumb to coronavirus. you know, whatever the hell they call it. There's, I tell you, Brother Wes, and I know you do a lot of research, because after all, you research Wes.
I got to, man. That's what Malcolm say, right?
That's right.
That was Malik of El
Hart's Bad Seeds, eh? That's right. Do the research. But, you know, I tell you, there, right at this very moment, in terms of this virus, in terms of what's happening with it, there's so much disinformation, mm-hmm. information. And my contention mm-hmm. is that from the very beginning of the virus, I didn't tell our people, and I never will, to get the jab or don't get the jab. Mm. I told our people,
right.
be healthy. Boost your immune system. Mm-hmm. Take vitamin D. Go out in the sunlight. But keep your mask on. You know, keep your distance. Mm-hmm. You know, be safe. You know, make movements in intelligence. You know, if you see a crowd, a bunch of people, mask up. You know, be wise in your movements, man. Because, I mean, one thing for sure, whatever the hell it is, it has killed people. I don't know how many people you know, Brother West, that have died because of this, but I know well over 10. No, well over 15.
Wow.
15 people. Some were very close friends. I mean, Conrad Worrell was a good friend of mine, and Conrad was a soldier, man. Conrad Worrell, he's chairman emeritus of the National Black United Front. You know, two cats I grew up with. One was a firefighter and a good brother, Tim Barr, locally around Milwaukee. And the other one was a police officer who quit the police department, got a doctorate degree, and was teaching, moved to Mississippi. He came up to Milwaukee to check on some property, caught COVID. They induced a coma. 2 or 3 days later, he was dead. The brother who was a firefighter, who was also a high school classmate of mine, you know, I don't know, I didn't know the incident when Facebook announcement came out to say prayer for him. I didn't know what it was, but it was a heart attack that he had some years ago. And so when he caught COVID, two or three days later, he was dead. You know, so I'm like, phew. And I realized that COVID-19 is a respiratory disease. And so I've had pneumonia many times. So I knew that I can't catch this, because if I catch this, I might be checking up out of here. You know what I'm saying? So I had to be very cautious.
Sir. I had pneumonia one time, but fortunately, nobody I know or nobody in my relatives come that expired from this here. So I think thank the Most High that nobody you might know.
Right on.
It's a funny thing, though, man. When this thing first hit,
mm-hmm.
they wanted all black people to get in the front of the line and take that jab, man.
Yeah.
Okay? And when I studied the algorithm of the Europeans on, okay, everything they done have done to us to try and be slick and trick us, I ain't trusting them with no needle.
Brother West, I agree with you wholeheartedly,
yes,
because the bottom line is they have never done anything good for us. Why now are you worried about our health? You know, why now?
Yeah.
You know, you so damn concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no, I haven't got the jab. I will not get the jab. Some members of my family have.
Brother.
Some have pressured.
Right on.
You know, nobody can pressure me into doing a damn thing. In fact, if I say I ain't getting it, that's end of the story on that. It is not that I'm a Taurus, I am, and bullheaded. I might be. But the bottom line is, I have no trust at all, no faith at all in Europeans of the Urugu of doing right by us.
Yeah.
That's the bottom
line.
Right. You know? And also, you know, with all the things that could be done, the only thing that these sons of guns are promoting is vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't saying about nutrition. They ain't saying about health. They ain't saying about things that you can do to boost your immune system, natural remedies, fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't saying nothing about that. The only thing they saying, vaccine.
Yeah.
You know? And so here you have Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates who have been pushing, because, I mean, there's a tape, and it's still out there probably still out there, with Bill Gates addressing a crowd talking about, we have developed vaccines that will help with population control. I mean,
yeah, 10% of the planet.
Yeah,
that's what he said, man. You're right, OG.
You know,
you're right, man. You're right, absolutely right, man. I love you because you pushing this African thing, man. But hey, I like that Ledge thing, man. About putting in 250 and getting $250,
yeah,
the man. Because I was thinking about that word.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, man. Go to the Ledge
that
group.
Word, Ledge.
Yeah, go to the LedgeGroup.com. Land. Land for the environmental development of African people. That's it. That's the Ledge Group, man.
And in front of that word ledge is not ledge. No ledge. No ledge. I mean, we ain't got no ledge, man. We elevating, man. See, yeah. I look at the etymology of words, man.
I hear you.
So I was just, that word was coming to my mind all day yesterday. I was thinking about it because that's what I like to share. No ledge, man. Let my people know. We ain't got no ledge to jump off, man. We above all that, man.
No.
Hey, Ocean, man, you good people, man.
I appreciate you, Brother Wes. It's good to hear your voice again.
Talking to a dude from Trinidad. I kind of want to leave. I want to get the hell out of America, too, but I kind of want to stay in this hemisphere.
Okay.
Like Belize.
Hey, listen,
Trinidad.
Brother, listen. I had a good friend that's in Belize. He invited me. He's been in Belize for years, Bishop Nathaniel Stanley, a very good brother. He's been in Belize longer than I've been here in Atlanta, so he's been in Belize damn near almost 10 years and doing quite well. I did see him about 4 or 5 years ago. He was in Milwaukee, and I was in Milwaukee, and he was telling me all the great things that are happening. But Belize is one. I'm going to tell you, Barbados is another. You know.
I love Barbados.
Do you? Yeah.
Remember that story, the Scarlet Letter? Remember that?
Okay.
Scarlet Letter.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm finna drop a little knowledge on you.
Okay.
For the family. Okay, when that the first leg sentence of that book, Scarlet Letter, they were talking about a lady named Tabitha Taboo or whatever from Barbados.
From Barbados.
So
okay.
My research told me all them so-called women, so-called witches, they was black, man. All of them, they was putting spells on the white Europeans Salem, Massachusetts. They was putting spells on them devils, man.
Well, hold
and
on.
And it was all black women, huh?
You mean the women that they
all
were burning?
Women.
The women
yeah.
they were burning at the stake were sisters? My
witches,
research,
yeah,
yeah, okay, okay. Well, I don't know. I don't think I don't think they were all sisters up in Salem, Massachusetts. I don't think they were all sisters. They were just picking out women. Period. And a lot of them were Caucasian women to burn them at the stake. So, but I'm quite sure there was some.
Plus, check this out. A lot of sisters they throw over Niagara Falls, man.
Or they just went ahead and jumped. They went ahead and jumped.
Some of them jumped. Yeah, you know, you saw. But I'm going to leave the family with this. Let somebody else talk, man.
Okay, brother.
I want to go somewhere on this planet where I don't see no white dog and no white cat, man. I don't want to see nothing white. Man.
Yeah, well.
All black, bro. That's where I want to go.
I tell you, where you going to go is back to the motherland, because we're going to reestablish the motherland for us. We kicking out the Chinese. We kicking out the Europeans. We kicking out the Arabs. We kicking out the Indians. All of them got to go. And African people are going to close ranks, pull resources, and we're going to do for ourselves. We have everything we need. The only thing we don't have are right minds. That's the only thing.
That's right.
We have everything we need.
I love Friday the 13th, man.
Yeah.
I love Friday the 13th. Every day that the Europeans said was bad for them, it was
that's
good
right.
For
it's good for us.
Friday
that's
13th.
Right. That's right,
Friday
brother.
The 13th and a black cat. I love a black cat.
That's right. Right on,
man. I let somebody else talk.
All right, Brother Wes. Hang on.
Talk, right?
Okay, brother. Just hang on. All right. Gotcha. Thanks, Wes. Okay. 602. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Worship. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Marcus. How are you today, man?
I'm doing great, good brother. You know, I was looking at the CDC's website, and they have a website, they have a part on the website where it tells about how many people have died after taking this vaccine. And they said over 12,000 people have died.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, I need to look that up right here right now.
Yeah, yeah, virus, adverse reaction, something like that.
Because you know, because CNN would post prior to, and then when the vaccine was developed, they would have globally how many people contracted the virus and how many people have died from it. And then they would have how many people have contracted the virus in the United States and how many people have died from it. And I think the last that I remember was 600 and something, you know, 650,000, 650, the most of any country, you know, in the world at that time. With and of course, America boasts itself on having the best health care that money can buy, which, of course, is the key right there. America has the best health care that money can buy. If your ass ain't got no money, then you're going to have some terrible health care and you'll more than likely die, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was looking, brother, I was looking for that information. So you're saying that they do have that information, because I was wondering, because they've talked about, you know, the spikes, but they haven't talked about the deaths. So the impression, at least I get, is what they're trying to convey is that, yes, there are a lot of people who have been vaccinated and who've gotten sick, but there nobody's dying. And the only people who are now getting sick are the unvaccinated. The only people dying, listen to this. The only people dying are those who are unvaccinated. But you're saying it's something else.
Yes, in fact, there was a cellular biologist, a sister who was in Congress the other day. She's a cellular biologist, and she made that claim.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to send it to you so you can see it for yourself and some other doctors that are there saying, "Look, we need to check this thing out," and then it's kind of strange that the government give indemnity to the vaccine company, right?
Mm-hmm,
but
right.
At the same time, they come out and say, "Oh, we approve this vaccine." So it's kind of crazy. Because
they're
saying, "Yeah, I approve the vaccine, but I have given the pharmaceutical company indemnity. So if anything happened to you,
that's right.
You cannot
sue them.
Yeah,
you
so
cannot sue.
It don't make no sense. Why would the government then approve something that they know if you get sick you can't come back? So it's a bunch of hullabaloo. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what the hell they're saying. This thing that they come up with. You know, they develop, you know, they don't know what the hell they injecting. And everybody come, "Oh, I put the vaccine and I'm all right."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are right. No, but wait until 6 months down the road, a year down the road. You don't know what's going to happen to you. We haven't seen the remedy. Yeah, we see the deaths happening,
mm-hmm.
but it makes it worse later on. So I am skeptical of these people.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I do not trust them one bit.
Not one bit. Because prior, you see, we have short memories, you know. Prior to this virus coming on the scene, they were talking about the world is overpopulated.
Right.
And we have to get rid of some people. And all of a sudden, you know, and black people were talking about, yes, let's unite and get together. Then all of a sudden, bam, this virus dropped. And they tell everybody, you got to socially distance from each other.
Mm-hmm. See,
everybody got to get away from each other. Something is going on which these people not telling us. You see, they are liars and thief. You know, every liar is a thief. So I don't trust them, my brother Oshi. You know, and I'm going to take my chances, you know.
Right.
I do have a family member now, you know, that
mm-hmm.
he traveled to Florida and came back. And next thing you know, he's under intubation as we speak. And it don't look good. It don't look good. But still, brother Oshi, you know, he had underlying conditions too. But you know, they're going to come and say, "Oh, it's COVID."
Right.
You know?
Right. Because because that fits. You know, the bottom line is, you know, the European, the Urugu, who's the embodiment of evil, utilizing religion, not spirituality, religion, government, finance, all of these things for dominance and world control. And we have fallen under that. And it has been very detrimental. It has, as the saying goes, deleterious effects on our well-being and on our lives. Not just here in America, of course, but globally. Globally. You know, they're the ones that put the image out that they were, that they also had the image of God. That God is white. You know. And of course, many of us have bought it. I mean, if you were fortunate enough to go, Marcus, mm-hmm. have you seen images of white Jesus in the Caribbean, in Jamaica?
I mean, the house I grew up in.
Yeah.
The house I grew up in had an image of a white Jesus.
Yes. You know, it's all over Africa. It's in Nigeria. It's in Ghana. I mean, when I first went to Ghana back in the middle 90s, and I saw that like that, I was really taken back. I don't know what I expected, you know, but I didn't expect that, you know. I didn't expect it to be on billboards, on bumper stickers, everywhere. I went to church a couple of times, and it was just like being at church here in the States, you know, with the exception that they didn't have any pictures up, because when I went to church, I was in like a strip mall or something, so they didn't have no pictures of white Jesus. But of course, the image of white Jesus, even in newer churches here that are us.
They still have white Jesus on the wall.
Yes. Yes.
Crazy. And all the information that's out here. You know, I was speaking to a preacher the other day, and he's kind of a revolutionary preacher. And I said, there's a preacher. I said, you know what? I don't think black people need leadership, you know. I think we need drivership. You're going to have to get behind our people and push them forward, you know. And you're going to have something said behind. Let's go, let's look. If you don't move, I have something here that's going to be worse than what the white man going to put on you. Because you know why? We have to take that position. It is that he uses to keep our people in check, fear. He uses fear to keep our from moving forward. So how you think you're gonna break that? You got to have something worse than what's putting on. So look, if you don't move, I do the right thing, I got something here for you that's worse than what the white man gonna put on you. See? And that is the position we have to take.
Yeah.
You see, because our people are not self-destructive staff. See, if you don't take that position, you go out there and talk to you about you being a leader, they'll destroy you, your own people.
Yeah.
You see? You know, I'm reading that book now, Addicted to White.
Addicted, yeah, Dr. Fox. Dr. Fox, Addicted to White. And we are.
Yes,
we are.
He's a big point. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah, the Caucasian has captivated our minds, and as a consequence, the theology that is imposed upon us strikes fear into us. We don't want to challenge it. You know, you can talk to people, and if they're religious, because they're not spiritual, they're religious. They believe in Christianity, or they even believe in Islam, or some other theology. You know. They hold true to the tenets of that theology. And for Christians, you know, I take this adage, Brother Marcus and listeners. They rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. Because if I don't believe and it is true, I'm going to burn in hell. So I'd rather believe that I'm going to be saved and my soul and so forth. And so if the tribulation comes or if the day of judgment comes, I believed. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I went to church and I tithe and I did all of those things. You know, so therefore, I'm going to heaven. Because you had a number of our people talking about many years ago, and probably still today. Bring on the tribulation. I'm ready. I'm saved. You know? Yeah. Bring it on. You know? It is. It is crazy. It is crazy.
It's crazy, my brother. It's crazy. But, you know, anyway, Brother Woshi, keep on keeping on.
Thank you, here. Brother Marcus.
I my ear to the ground, good brother.
You do it. Always, Brother Marcus. Thank you for calling, brother. All right. Peace to you. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Marcus is on point. And the bottom line is, you know, these folks have our minds. Brother Ralph, thank you for the information of the CDC. I'm still trying to look and see on there if there's a place where it talks about the numbers of death. You know, the number of people who have died who are vaccinated. You know, Research West said there's thousands. And I you know, very well could be. I haven't seen that death total that CNN used to have on their screens all the time. It's not there. You know, but the bottom line is, you know, the government will do whatever it has to do, you know, to shield itself. Frances Cress Welsing was on point. She said, it's racism. Of course, you know, I use the adage, European Caucasian extremism, racism and privilege. Because racism, there's no such thing as race. The European created the concept of race. And you can go look up and research Johann Blumenbach of Göttingen University or Carol Linnaeus. Those are the ones that did the stratification. This is a new concept. This is not from the beginning of time. It's a new concept. And collective whiteness. Collective whiteness is a new concept. You know, and so these people will do any and everything they have to do to maintain the illusion of their supremacy, the illusion of them being in control. You take this thing that's going to, like Wednesday and Friday of this week, I hope you will join me. I will be talking about the inside job that is 9/11. In fact, the name of the program is Who You Gonna Believe, Me or Your Lying Eyes? There's been a number of programs that you'll see because this is the 20th year, 20 years of this bull, 20 years of this sugar, honey, iced tea, 20 years that they've been flim-flamming and bamboozling, 20 years. And so I'm going to come hard. I'm going to come hard. I'm going to be like my man Research West. I'm going to be digging in some serious research for you and bringing it out, because one of the things that this situation calls for is looking at multiple sources. If you watch the programs that you're going to see, they're not going to talk about what I'm going to be talking about on Wednesday and Thursday, and what I've been talking about for years. They're not going to talk about that. They're not going to even give a hint to it. They won't even give a hint to any kind of controversy. They'll give you the human interest stories. The piece on 9/11, a Day in America, which is National Geographic's piece. I done saw about 4 or 5 episodes, and they're all heartwarming. They're all, you know, speaks to the human, you know, challenge and the human existence and the human being helping. You know, people risking their lives to help others. The firefighter, the 343 firefighters that died, the almost 3,000 people that died on that day, which includes the people who were in those airplanes, you know. So we got a caller, 404-404, good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, brother. Oh, this is Sister Haiba.
How you doing, Haiba?
Program
good
as always.
Appreciate it.
I was a little disheartened when the brother called in, and may Brother Renoki, may he rest in peace and power. But that was, you know, that was very disheartening to hear that he took,
he took the jab. He took the jab.
Yeah, took that COVID vaccine and a week before. So I'm just saying that the brother had been having pre-existing conditions and been going.
Yeah, he did.
And I feel it is more than a coincidence that a week after he takes that he passed.
Yeah. Yeah, he did have I mean, I've talked it over with a few. I had serious love for that brother. Serious love for him. I consider him a friend. He considered me a friend. You know, been to his home, been to my house. You know, but you know, he had some underlying health challenges as well as I do. And
yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, so I wouldn't dismiss that. That's it couldn't have been the vaccine that caused his untimely demise. I would not. I mean, I think that it's highly suspicious and likely that the vaccine was perpetrating that too, because the like we say, he'd been going back and forth to Africa with those so-called preconditions, and he you know, was living well. So that's just disheartening, and I think that it's just illustrating how deadly this vaccine is. You know, I'm agreeing with the brother that was quoting all the thousands of people that's dying from the vaccine, and it's very notorious, because I heard on the news the other day they said Biden wanted the vaccine. He wants the so-called booster. Mm-hmm. The regular vaccine is not working a lot, because it's just, you know,
well,
why so many cases.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting, sister, because when the vaccine first rolled out and they were just hailing it at 90% effective,
because nothing's going to be
100%. They understand that. So 90% effective, the Moderna and the Pfizer, and then later the Johnson & Johnson. And then there's some other vaccines from other countries. And so they rolled out the vaccine piece and how, you know, get the vaccine. You know, then people who got the vaccine, some say, well, I got a little sick, but then I got all right. But now I feel pretty protected, you know. Then, of course, then the CDC said, well, if you got the vaccine, you don't need to wear a mask, you know.
Right. It is raging now. COVID is raging with the so-called vaccine. And one of the things Biden, you know, and it's, you know, the government is very notorious about it. Biden was announcing that he wants this third booster to come out September 20th. And, you know, he got caught on the fact, well, it hasn't been approved. You want to follow the so-called science. The CDC and the FDA haven't approved yet.
The FDA has approved the vaccine.
There's another one that's supposed to be coming out September 20th.
Okay.
But
another vaccine.
But my point was, so they're saying this, and, you know, and so he got called on the fact, well, this part hasn't been approved yet for this third one. And they said, well, Biden, he's paid millions and millions of dollars to the pharmaceuticals ahead of time before this one is approved, so that he's so-called be ready. So that's very notorious. It's suspicious. You're going to be paying the pharmaceutical. It's a money thing about this too. Mm-hmm. It's like a diabolical plot. You know, all this finance. The pharmaceuticals are getting all these millions of dollars.
Yeah, billions of dollars.
And then they're trying to coerce everybody to get it, especially us.
Exactly.
But, I mean, that's a little bit of a way. You're going to pay millions and millions of dollars for this thing. Talking about you waiting for them to approve it. I mean, it's just really blatant.
Yeah. And it is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, the bottom line is, get yourself healthy. Protect
That's
yourself.
Right. Vitamin D.
Yeah. Take vitamin D every day. Go out and get some sunlight. You know, keep your mask on. Keep your mask on, particularly in crowds.
Absolutely.
Especially people that you don't know. You know, but even unfortunately, a family member, you could, you know, I have young, you know, I have grandsons, and I'm leery at times because, you know, I don't know who they be hanging with, you know.
Oh, yeah. They all have to wear mass amounts.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the reality of the time at this very moment that we're in, when you consider the number of people. And it could be a moment that you don't have your mask on. It was perfectly honest and perfectly you know, that you didn't. And then, bam, you catch it. And if you have underlying conditions, you know. So, and then, of course, the push on governments globally that everybody get the jab. And you better have a card. Right. You better have a card that said you got it. Otherwise, you can't come to this country. Otherwise, you can't attend this event. Otherwise, you might just keep your ass at home, you know, because that's that. And it's kind of come to that situation. I mean, there's some football teams in the NFL. They said, we're looking for every member, the Atlanta Hawks. All members of their football team have been vaccinated. I think there's another team. Yeah, I think there's another team. And even though they said because Cam Newton was not vaccinated, they said, no, that's not why he was cut. Well, the fact is that there was some protocol that supposedly happened. There was a misunderstanding, and he missed some days. And, you know, and I believe that that's the bottom line of why he was cut. You know, some could argue that his play wasn't all of that, you know. But, you know, this is the world that. Yeah, this is the world. And when I consider these two individuals, Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci, are constantly pushing this without any. They've been talking about. Yeah, because they've been talking about population control for a long time. There are too many people on the planet. You know, I remember when Prince Harry, is that the one that's married to Markle? I think so. But he was, I had seen him on a piece talking about population control, particularly in Africa. Particularly in Africa, you know. So I do not trust Caucasians. Right. I don't trust them one bit. You know, so any advice or any information coming from them, I'm very skeptical of, very leery of. In fact, to me, I discount. Yeah,
they spread so much propaganda. And yeah. They, you know, they spread it to
right.
African people over here and have, you know, and they be propagating it and promoting it.
Well,
it's just the propaganda that's massive.
They're,
it's like a brainwashing thing.
Right. They're habitual liars. They're habitual liars.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah.
All right, my sister.
I'm going to go. But, you know, that thing about Brother Renoco, that just really disgusts me about that. And Hank Aaron, after he got the vaccination, about a week later, he died.
Exactly. He died.
After the vaccine.
Yeah.
Sister Tyson, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Marvelous. There was a number of people that once they got the jab or received the vaccine, mm-hmm. they died within a few weeks. Marvelous Marvin Hagler Absolutely. Was another one, you know. So
yeah, and people that are getting the vaccine, they're spreading the
That's the thing.
They spreading it.
Right. That's the thing.
Take more vaccines.
Right. The answer. You can have the vaccine. You can be vaccinated. You can be. With the two shots of Moderna or the two shots Viagra. Well, that company makes Viagra. Pfizer makes Viagra. But even the Johnson & Johnson, and the bottom line is you can give the vaccine. Excuse me, you can give the virus to others. So,
they admitting it. They're just spreading it, and then they come up with come up with some excuse for it to justify it. But it is now. You still spreading it. People are still getting it, just like Jesse Jackson got two of them. He got it. It's really
all right. My sister.
My brother.
All right, peace to you. Peace. Thank you. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Odios, what's happening, brother?
Hey, Jay, did you have a good weekend, man?
Oh, man, I had a beautiful weekend. Listen, the thing that makes me the most annoyed is that they're trying to underhandedly make this vaccine mandated. Mm-hmm. And what's so egregious about it is that the sycophants are going right along with it instead of standing up and saying, hold up, wait a minute. But I mean, what? Why is this man mandated when we supposed to be the greatest nation on the earth? What's the deal with finding the cure for this sugar, honey, iced tea? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, I guess they're trying to make it seem like this is something that they'll never be able to cure. Then on top of that, it's like I've been saying for a couple of days, it's the Negroes within the media doing the assault on ivermectin. Not telling the truth about ivermectin.
Right.
And that it's meant to be used with horses at one dose.
Right.
And humans at another doses, and that on top of that, I'll give you a perfect example of the wicked tree of the media and how they do it. But if you're not in tune to certain things, you'll never peep it. Your boy Roly Poly Martin on his program, I think it was Thursday or Friday, did his attack on ivermectin. Now listen clearly, because you won't pick it up unless you know what to pick up on. He said that inmates are suing a prison system for giving them ivermectin. But what he never says is these two key components of that. Did anybody die? And how many inmates were cured? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you can't say to me that these are the amount of people that died from taking it, and these are the amount of people that were cured, but you're talking bad about it, then you're just putting forward propaganda in regards to it. But, you know, the thing is, whenever you can say to a person, well, the prison administration gave 30 inmates ivermectin and 10 inmates died, or the prison gave ivermectin to 30 inmates and all 30 inmates seem to have recovered from the coronavirus. Now, if you say that, that's telling you something.
Right.
That's telling the person that's receiving the information that ivermectin is harmful. Now, a person like me, when you do that, I know ivermectin is then more viable than the jab. They never talk about the people who took the jab why they died after taking the jab. They never talk about people who have took the jab and hours later have died. So, I mean, it's just propaganda on its highest level and manipulation. And unfortunately, most Negroes fall for that sugar on the iced tea because they don't have the necessary cognizant skills to sit down and think about what's being said to them and the propaganda that's being pushed on them. Because the majority, unfortunately, of our people are sheep. But then they want to go after me and you because we decide that we don't want to take the jab. It's just like your show that you got coming forward the next two times you on there about 9/11. I can tell you where I was on 9/11, but I could also say to you, I give less than a damn about 9/11.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's never going to be a situation to where as the truth is going to be told in regards to 9/11. I don't see it. I will never see the truth being told regarding 9/11.
No, you won't. But that information needs to be out there. That information needs to be looked at and analyzed. It happened that way. That's the thing. Brother Jay, I'll give you the Twin Towers. I'll give you building number 7, because in the piece that I watched from National Geographic, they said this was building number 7, and they show a building that is just ravished with fire and heat and so forth. It's understandable why that building might come down. But when you look at the early parts of video of building number 7 with a few spot fires here and there, and the next thing you see, the damn thing go down in its own footprint. Please. Please. You're stunning my intelligence deeply. But I'll give you that too, Jay. I'll give you that some cats was flying, because, you know, they go up over 30,000 feet when they fly, don't they? Yes. And I'll give you the fact that they were using cell phones in 2001, calling their relatives and talking about, baby, I love you, but I'm gonna go bum rush this cockpit and give these cats a beat down. And then the plane crashes in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I'll give you that. But let me tell you, Brother Jay, you can never, ever make me believe that a plane in the Washington, D.C. area of Virginia and Maryland, all throughout that area, that a plane was flying so fast and so low that when the nose of that plane hit the Pentagon, the damn thing disintegrated. You don't see no wings. You don't see no tail. You don't see no engine compartment. You don't even see the damn black box. You don't see nothing but a hole in the side of the Pentagon. Follow the money, Jay. We'll be talking about it on Wednesday and Friday, brother. Follow the money.
Well, brother, I tell you, I will definitely check it out, because the bottom line is, the reality is that the white man don't tell the truth, man.
No, he's a liar. He's a consistent liar.
Can I add something real quick?
Yeah. Oh, hey, brother Ralph. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. We didn't know about drones back then.
Mm.
A lot of us did not know about unmanned flying aircraft back then.
That's true. 20 years ago. And I'm quite sure they had them.
Now, let me tell you something. Don't
good
you
point.
Find it funny that none of the relatives of any of those people are all for those so-called airplanes? You haven't heard from none of that.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't heard none of them. So any of the relatives that had family, friends flying on those planes, you don't hear from none of them, which makes me think that was nothing but a drone strike.
Well, they've done it. They've done it. That's right. No, I agree. That's definitely right on, Ralph. I definitely now, because I mean, you know, they had that technology back then. They had drone strikes in fact, Barack was heavy with drone strikes. But they had drone welfare during, right? They had that during young Bush's time as well. So that's a good one. That's a good possibility, you know. Especially considering the Pentagon situation, you know, because that could not have been a plan. And listen. The only official video that you may have of something striking the Pentagon is a flashing bright light. That's it. You don't see, and you know there's cameras all around the Pentagon, all up and through Washington, D.C., everywhere. They went and collected all of the cameras from all of the service stations, convenience stations, whatever. They collected all of that camera footage, all of it.
Brother Oshie, me being a member of the U.S. Navy and know about their air bases, man, they would not have allowed that at all, knowing their reconnaissance mission.
Yes.
So I know for a fact this thing is a hoax. They even had a close-up, a so-called close-up of one of the planes that didn't even have no passenger windows.
Mm.
So, you know, this thing, and at that time, if you can remember, this country was going down. There was no money. You go get parts for your automobile. They had to wait till they come in from China. This was a economic doomsday about to happen until they went to war, which boosted that economy. And they put in the puppet master of all. They put in the puppet, Barack, just to keep the people fooled again. And he bailed out the banks. And I'm gonna leave you with this, man. They called it the bailout, but what we better beware of is what's coming up, and it's called the bail-in. Mm. And what the bail-in means is, and I just like researched this stuff, and I'm like my man Wes, the bailout, the government bails out the banks.
Okay.
With the bail-in, the banks bail out themselves with your money.
Yeah.
So
okay.
You better look out, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm going to leave you with that, brother.
All good right, job. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Ralph. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, we're almost at the top of the hour. But,
damn, that's kind of bad news. If you talking about the banks that got bailed out with my money, I mean,
yeah,
I got enough money in the bank to be pretty concerned and be quite upset if it happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they trying to do? Make black folks really act a fool over their money? Because, you know, you take mine on a certain level. I'm gonna wanna hurt somebody. You know? But the reality is this, man. The way the economy is set up in this country, it seems like every couple of years, they got to come out with some kind of bailout to bail them out anyway. You know?
Yeah, well,
I'm going to have with the free man's bank, how they stole our money when our free slaves had their bank.
Right.
They stole all their money out of the free man's bank.
Yeah. They do what the hell they want to do.
I thought you was leaving the country. What happened? You ain't found some place to go? I heard Panama was pretty nice.
Belize is better.
Belize?
Hell yeah.
I think their economy is not as good as Panama, but they both are. Now, let me tell you the type of house that you get to really protect yourself. A container house. If you ever get the opportunity, go on YouTube and check out container houses. Now, mm-hmm. What they're not telling you is that in Puerto Rico, they got a serious influx of rebuilding of homes with containers because of the simple fact, you know this and I know this, containers basically are built to hold up
right through the hurricanes, right?
Weather,
yeah, because they're
based on the simple fact that it's used to
transport
most things in the mm-hmm. world.
Yeah. Trucks.
So what happened is in Puerto Rico, they had this architect company that it came to their mind to let's start building container houses to replace the houses that were destroyed mm-hmm. by the hurricane, and they're cheap and everything. And let me tell you, they're beautiful. They are beautiful.
I've seen them on YouTube. I've seen them on some Facebook postings that people have. They can be very elaborate. They can do a lot of stuff inside some of those containers. Some of them have some space, you know. But I agree.
I'm really thinking about if I make a certain move of having one built, man. I would love to have one built, you know, in places like New Orleans, Louisiana, where they just had this tragedy with the hurricane and things of that nature. But can I peep this to you right quick?
Go ahead, because I'm running out of time.
I guarantee you, if there was a upswing and trying to use containers to rebuild in Louisiana or New Orleans, the government would put a stop to it.
Yeah, I
put some money on that, brother.
You know, I put nothing past him. All right. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for all listening. I thank you all for calling in. Good to hear Brother Research West, no doubt. Of course, Brother Jay and Ralph and Brother Marcus and Sister Haiba, all of y'all. Love y'all. Appreciate it. Hope you'll be able to listen Wednesday and Friday. We'll be talking about the inside job that is 9/11 on the 20th. Year of that killing of American citizens, 343 firefighters, almost 3,000 people.
the lie that it is. So we'll break all of that down, so hope you can listen. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivivhodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Wednesday.